Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. And as we do every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, brought to you by the NFL Alumni Association. Charles, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. How you doing this morning?
Awesome. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Are you like Joe Rexroad in viewing the NFL Combine as your top sporting event of the year?
I mean, it's definitely the best. I think it's the best off-season event for the NFL. I know a lot of people love the draft and everything, but you know, this week is it's literally, you walk into any of the hotel lobbies here, especially like, you know, the Marriott or the JW, whatever. You're running into coaches, you're running into general managers, you're running into agents. You know, there are players ferrying through. I remember a couple of years ago, I was standing in the lobby of the JW hotel, and I literally watched, although he denied it later, I watched Josh Allen and Sam Darnold get trapped in the spinning door, which seemed impossible, but I was kind of like, you know, years later, I do think it was Josh Allen that got them out, which was probably indicative of how things were going to go between those two guys.
That's a very good point. Charles, what do you make of this Lamar Jackson situation in Baltimore, and how exactly you see this situation playing out when everything is said and done?
I mean, it's jacked. Like, it was interesting because if you stood there and you listened to Eric DaCosta, the general manager, I just thought, this feels like they're just replaying the last time he and John Harbaugh sat and had a press conference about this. Nothing's changed. Like, you could tell, like, DaCosta was doing everything he could to dress it up. But it was on display what you're hearing away from the podium, which is this awkward dance between Baltimore and Lamar where nothing's getting done. And, you know, DaCosta gets up there, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he's like, oh, yeah, you know, we're talking to the player, and we love the player, and it's really awkward having to, you know, do these deals with a player. And he pretty much came out and said, it's hard to say negative things to Lamar because usually you have an agent in that situation. And, again, I'm paraphrasing here, but he pretty clearly indicated, we have our stance for a reason. There are things tied to Lamar that have brought us to the point of where we are. And he's not saying where they are, but they're not giving him a fully guaranteed deal. I don't care what it's, you know, Stephen A. Smith or whoever the heck else comes out of the woodwork to say, well, you know, he doesn't want a fully guaranteed deal. That's just not true. That's against every single thing I've heard. It's against what other NFL teams have heard that are monitoring this because they have to do their own quarterback deals. We're not the only ones paying attention to this or pulling information on it. It's funny because I almost wonder if there's a parsing of words here, and no one will admit it, but this idea that, well, like, Lamar hasn't asked for a fully guaranteed deal. Well, maybe Lamar hasn't asked for anything. Maybe that's part of the problem here, is that Lamar has not come to the Ravens and said, here are the specific particulars of what exactly I want, what I want in the contract. I've seen email correspondence between players and teams, player agents and teams before on deals, and it's very specific. Here's the years, here's the money, here's the guarantees, you know, here's some other things that are going to be important to us in the contract, whatever. I don't know if that's part of what's not happening between the Ravens and Lamar Jackson right now, but the hang-up is what has been reported repeatedly. It's because he is seeking that Deshaun Watson type of deal where it's fully guaranteed, and the Ravens just, they're absolutely not going to do that. And so to me, it's on the same exact track it was when we talked about this the last time with the Ravens at the end of the season. They are headed for Lamar Jackson being tagged. We're going to figure out, and I think the Ravens are still in the process of determining what tag they want to use on him. And then we're going to see where it goes. I still think there's a chance the guy could trade him.
That's wild. By the way, Robbie asked the initial question because I constantly complain about how I hate the combine. Although, very nice dinner with Charles in Indy. Very nice, nice wedge salad. Like bacon board. It's mostly the event itself. I mean, like, no other sport could possibly swindle everyone into coming and watching people do stupid drills for several days. I mean, it's the thing that you cover at large that bothers me sometimes. But
the NFL, that's the dumb thing about the NFL. They've literally turned like everything into. I still think, to me, the schedule release is like the dumbest thing on earth. Like we act like it's this. What a day! The schedule release. Let's talk. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me, man. We're predicting what the great games are going to be. You remember all the time we wasted talking about? Look at the Broncos 2022 schedule. Of Russell Wilson, and it's going to be amazing. And like Amazon's like, sweet. Like, look at what we're going to get, and this is trash. Like,
exactly. So that's basically where it's rooted. Charles, Jalen Carter. What is your take on that situation?
Okay, so obviously, I assume the listeners know Jalen Carter had a warrant issued for his arrest while he was here, tied to this accident in January, in which a Georgia football staffer and a player were killed in a car accident. Another player and another staffer were injured in an SUV that hit multiple poles at a high rate of speed. So when this accident initially happened, the NFL teams were kind of in the same position as us. They did not realize that at least there was going to be the allegation that Jalen Carter was present, like when this occurred in another vehicle, which is what the allegation is from Georgia authorities and this warrant that was, he turned himself in on and was released. So he comes here, and I had a chance to talk to the Bears, right before this coming in. They're very high on Jalen Carter. I think they thought, hey, there's a chance that, maybe a team that wants to move up to one, it's not just going to be limited to quarterbacks. Maybe there's a team that wants to move up, to one for Carter. So, all these possibilities surrounding Jalen Carter. He has a couple meetings with teams. Because they're informal meetings, they didn't get into this incident that happened in January. And I think that's because when you do personal visits, that's when you do more of the character dive. I think you would have been asked more about he was ticketed for allegedly, I think, going 89 and a 45 in September. If they had found anything on this, and the warrant hadn't been issued, it would have been asked later. But the point is, when this kind of dropped on Wednesday, not only did Jalen Carter not expect it, he was going to meet with the media, and not only did teams not expect it, he hadn't been asked about it. It just kind of hit, and everybody was caught off guard. And, it's too early in this process to say how it'll affect his draft stock, because we just don't know. The process of investigations ongoing, what he's being accused of is effectively leaving an establishment in the early morning hours after like 2 a.m., and then, racing. That's what the Georgia authorities are saying, that he was racing this other SUV. The SUV lost control. He was initially at the scene after the crash, and then he left. Then he came back, I think it was like an hour and a half later, hour and a half to 2 hours later, and he told like a shifting account. First that, hey, I was at an apartment complex, I heard the accident. Then, well, no, I was behind the car. Then, well, no, I was next to the car. And eventually, I think what we're going to find out, and I think what teams assume is coming, is there's going to be a piecing together of video, surveillance video, like sort of in the fashion there was with Henry Ruggs. Remember, all that video came out of Ruggs' car going at high rate of speed. So I think they're expecting this is what's going to come out. Jalen Carter and his reps have denied this, say they're going to be exonerated. So, he's not being accused of actually causing the accident. He's being accused of engaging in what essentially is racing, and then the other vehicle lost control. The interesting thing here that no one's talking about, I had a chance to talk to a GM, and he said, look, there's one thing in terms of the legal ramifications of this. He said, but there's potentially civil ramifications that we have questions about right now. And that is, you had people who died in the other accident. A lawyer is probably going to be retained by all the injured parties. And the lawyers, the first thing they're going to ask is, what's the culpability? University of Georgia in trouble because this was a University of Georgia vehicle? Is Jalen Carter somehow have some kind of civil culpability because he was engaged allegedly in this racing with the other vehicle? So there could be future entanglements down the line related to this accident. None of it's good, but I would say we're early enough in the process right now that we still got to see this play out and really what the evidence bears in terms of what his actions were, and, you know, he's going to have the character questions that now follow.
So the NFLPA survey comes out, Charles. The Titans end up 18th. Apparently, you know, a lot of good marks for them, other than apparently, like, flying with the Titans is really not fun.
I guess not.
The peanuts are not good, or I don't know.
They don't like the locker room. They really don't like the travel.
Yeah, the locker room's interesting because they recently redid that, and I feel like they have plenty of space in there, but I haven't been in all the other locker rooms. But that, from their perspective, and anything else about it that really jumped out at you?
No, they were, I mean, it was interesting because they were kind of middle. Yeah, they're 18th, so sort of middle of the pack. And like you said, the overall, the grades weren't bad. You know, some of the grades weirdly looked, when you looked at the rankings, the grade, like the strength staff, you're like, oh, geez, this is kind of on the low side. It's really not, because so many strength staffs were pegged so highly by, like, across the league. So you could still feel great about your strength staff, and, you know, your rating is 20th or whatever the Titans was. But yeah, I think the things that kind of stuck out to me, I thought there was like a lack of a family room, like in the stadium, which is interesting because, you know, you part of this, you know, survey that they did, you start to hear some of the stories that players are telling. And like, so I'll give you an example, like this lack of, I think they also lack daycare, on game days, but like the lack of the family room, I don't think it was the Titans, but there was like another team where, there was a young mother, that was, you know, married to a player, and she had to like breastfeed her child, but there was no family room, which, you know, other teams provide these family rooms for privacy, for, you know, things of that nature or whatever. And so she basically had to go in what was effectively like a public, you know, publicly used like restroom area, to like breastfeed her kid, you know, and she's like, geez, like this is like, you know, they know we're going, like, it's so in situations like with that family room, I think people have to understand the dynamics of some of the things that players are talking about. And, yeah, the travel. So when people read it, there's this idea that, well, there's no first class offered. I know people are going to roll their eyes at this, but the reality is across the league, because these are chartered flights, there is like a first class in a lot of these, chartered jets, these big, massive chartered jets. Well, that first class, some teams, a lot of teams across the league basically allow players. So it's sort of like, let's say the parking lot. We all go to the team facilities, right? And some players get the honor of parking closer. Other players, you know, but they don't reserve all the close spots for the coaches, right? No teams do that with their parking lot. Well, the plane's kind of similar. Do you only let the coaches live, you know, sit in first class? You know, do you only let the coaches and the support staffers sit in first class? That's something that I think when you see first class is not offered, like, it means that, like, hey, players don't get any first class access. It's the coaches and the staffers. And, you know, I think that kind of pisses off some players. So that, you know, that was one of the things that I think kind of stuck out. It, you know, wasn't a horrible report card for the Titans, but I think what's interesting is they had, you know, 1,300 people out of 2,200 players, effectively 60%, you know, responded to this the first time they did this. I think that number is going to grow, and I think this is going to get a heck of a lot more nuance. They're going to do it every single year. I think it's going to be fascinating. I really do. And I think these, you know, it's like 8 categories. I think that'll broaden as well.
We'll have more with Charles Robinson coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are live here from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Continuing our conversation with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, brought to you by the NFL Alumni Association. And Charles, obviously, looking at the AFC South moving forward, Jacksonville gets it done. They win it last year. Trevor Lawrence ascends alongside Doug Peterson in his second year. What's your outlook for Trevor Lawrence and the Jags as they move forward here? Can they get to a point in your mind where they're not only competing in the AFC South, but they're competing with the Kansas Cities and the Cincinnatis and the Buffaloes in the AFC?
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. I mean, you know, granted they bowed out of the playoffs, but, you know, I think they were it was a very competitive end to their season. And Calvin Ridley, look, I get the whole gambling thing, the suspension, but Calvin Ridley has the skill set to be a top end, you know, wide receiver in the NFL. And I don't know that, I mean, now maybe it's a little bit different. It was funny because when they had the signings they had in free agency last year, and, you know, they kind of overspent to get players. And I talked to someone there, and they're like, look, it's a tax. Like, we kind of play, we pay the Jaguars tax, the Jacksonville tax, because we're just not a draw yet. Well, that, I don't know if Jacksonville would be a draw, but, like, Trevor Lawrence is going to be a draw. And I think more and more players are going to look at, you know, his stature as a quarterback, you know, particularly offensively, and say, yeah, I kind of want to play with that guy. And so I think it's been a big step forward for them. Ridley's a big add, as long as his, you know, nothing's happened with him physically in the year off. And so that's great for them. I think you have the young players that they drafted last year, that, you know, Trayvon Walker, let's see the step forward he takes. I feel like the arrow should absolutely be pointed up on them. Now the question is this going to be like a Bengals situation where we see the success and then are they going to be like a Super Bowl echelon team? Is that the kind of step that Lawrence is going to take? Because I think even last season, he rounded pretty quickly into the kind of form that we expected. It was the progress of the lost season under Urban Meyer. We finally got under Doug Peterson. Now he has to continue that arc. Like, is he a top five quarterback next year? I think Trevor Lawrence, you know, from kickoff to the end of the season, the top five quarterback, you're looking at Jacksonville potentially being one of those, you know, heavy hitters in the AFC that's a Super Bowl contender. And it just feels like he vindicated the decision to take him. And the big mistake, obviously, the ownership made was the Urban Meyer experiment, but they fixed it quickly, and, you know, they're back on track. So I expect what we saw last year is real. If it's not, something fundamentally would have had to have failed. And if you ask me what fundamentally fails and makes them fall apart, I think it would be the offensive line, because they still have young players there that have to continue to get better. And that's what could end up scuttling this pretty quickly, unless, you know, we're talking about Trevor Lawrence getting hurt or something of that nature. But I think they're ready to ascend, and that should probably be troubling to everybody else in the division.
So my question here, because I know I talked to some people that have made me think about Anthony Richardson a little differently, a little bit better, frankly. But my question here is,
I know.
I'll wait till he runs, you know. But my main question is, what's the big intel or conversations you've had that maybe have changed you on any of the quarterbacks at the top of the draft? But also, I just want you to know, or I want you to evaluate my plan for the Titans, which is to do everything they can to get to one. If it has to be trading Jeffrey Simmons, trade Jeffrey Simmons, trade all the picks, get Bryce Young, because he's going to be great. Is that plan amazing or magnificent?
This is the setup when you know you want your coach to draft a player. So you do the only answers on the test are he's wonderful.
Yes. He's yes or yes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Wow. That's, man, as far as a plan goes, that's a pretty stunning plan. I think, okay, so let's just say we're the Bears. We're sitting there at one and we're going, okay, hell, the Titans want to trade up. First off, I think it would have to be a double trade. I highly doubt that the Titans could move that far in one fell swoop. It would have to be like back when the Rams did the double move to get up to get Jared Goff.
With the Titans?
With the Titans, that's correct. Yeah, so I would guess it would have to be a double move. Now, that said, you know, Simmons is the kind of player that you're hoping Jalen Carter is, let's be honest. But you have to, you know, there's the money aspect. And, you know, I do think that you can never underplay the idea that a lot of these teams with top picks know that we're not just drafting a potential star player or whatever our scouting department, personnel department says, we're drafting a great contract for the next couple of years, somebody that we don't have to pay for at least 3 years. And if it's a defensive player, we probably don't really have to pay him, you know, until maybe that fourth year before the fifth year option kicks in. So, you know, that's a little bit of the complication. If you're talking about a team like the Titans wanting to trade a top echelon veteran player, arguably their best player on their team, you know, defensively, it's, if you're the Bears, you're going, well, okay, well, there goes the contract. That stinks. And are we really ready to win right now if we're acquiring an all-pro level defensive player and paying an all-pro level defensive player? We have to believe that we're ready to start winning games right now. That's the problem, you know, and that's what I think makes teams reticent if they feel like their window isn't quite there. There's some people that theorize, hey, the Bears should draft Bryce Young at one, offload Justin Fields, because it just buys them a reset on the quarterback contract, especially if they think Bryce Young is even a modestly better quarterback prospect than Justin Fields. If he's 5% better, draft Bryce Young and reset the contract, because you know the Bears are probably still, you know, quite a ways away from turning it around. And that way you're not already staring at, you know, say Justin Fields has a great 2023, you're already starting to talk about his contract extension next offseason. So I love it. That would be great if the Titans could pull it off. I just don't think the Bears are going to want to start to commit funds, you know, to a player who's now in the prime of his career. I think they would rather, if they're going to stick in that position, and this Jalen Carter stuff is not, if this is the worst of it that we're seeing, they would rather go with an elite level player and draft the contract flexibility over the next couple of years. So, I think that's awesome. I love that you're aggressive. You're a very aggressive general manager. That's amazing. I think you should have bounced that off of. Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, just run that by Rand, see what he says. You know, maybe Mike Vrabel. Just be like, hey, I got a plan for the organization.
I wrote it. I'm sure they first thing they did was log out and read it yesterday.
I mean, they're not reading, Joe. I mean, come on. You're not listening to people's combine. They're not listening to, you know, they're not listening to any of us.
Now
we ask the questions. That's why you gotta come to the combine instead of having a bacon plate with Charles. You hang out in the lobbies and you corner one of these guys, because Mike Vrabel loves to be cornered.
Yeah.
And then you tell him, hey, let's get rid of Tannehill. Okay, get that guy out of here. You know your best defensive line, but let's get rid of him.
Yeah.
let's start shaking this up. So, yeah.
I'm with it.
You need to come back here, Joe. That's come on. Right. We can do this.
I miss it.
That's right. Charles, I just want to point out, we got through this whole thing, and a certain quarterback from Green Bay was not brought up one time. Just want to point that out.
And I want to point out that I was sitting in the media room working yesterday and all the lights went out. And I was like, man, do I really want this $60 million?
Oh, very nicely done. Charles, great stuff as always. Thanks for being with us. Enjoy the rest of the combine, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, sounds good. Take care, guys.
All right, Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest, joins us every Thursday morning from 8 to 8:30, presented by the NFL Alumni Association. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. More on that coming up next. Make sure you tune in for later this morning at 8:45 for Preds Pick to Click, presented by TJ Anderson Holmes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. Preds play tonight at Florida. We had John Hines on the show earlier. Pick to Click brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Visit TJAndersonHomes.com to see why they're referred to so often. And Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.